Welcome to Nancy's Bookshelf, a program of conversation and reading with local and regional writers. Now, here's your host, Nancy Wiegman.
My two guests today are academics who collaborated on a musical. Award-winning playwright and author Lynn Elliott was born in Cardiff, Wales. He received an undergraduate degree in Nottingham, England, MA and PhD from the University of California at Santa Barbara. For 6 years, he was chairman of the English department at Chico State, where he was voted an outstanding teacher. 4 of 10 plays he has written won national playwriting contests. He has written 3 screenplays and published 2 works of fiction. Lynn Elliott has now written the book and lyrics for Rodeo, a musical comedy which opens at Theater on the Ridge in Paradise next Thursday. Lynn Elliott, welcome.
Thank you.
And then Marcel Daguerre collaborated in this musical, Rodeo, and he received an MBA from Chico State and an MA in philosophy from UC Davis. He began his teaching career in the Department of Finance and Marketing at Chico State in 1985. For the last 25 years, he's been a lecturer in the philosophy department. He's been playing music in Chico since 1979. He was a drummer for various local bands and is currently the guitarist for the Quasimofos. Marcel Daguerre is the composer of 4 original musicals, all with local theater legend Jerry Miller. In 2007, he won an Annie for Best Theater production. I've invited him to join Lynn Elliott and me because he's one of the composers of Rodeo the Musical. Marcel Daguerre, welcome.
Thank you, Nancy.
Well, this collaboration that the two of you have come up with, how did you come up with this idea?
That would be me. Why would a Welshman born in the middle of a large city, Cardiff, be writing about the rodeo? Okay. So I wrote my dissertation on Ben Jonson, and I'd known his work for some time. And he has a play called Bartholomew Fair. And what fascinates me about that play is, as the name suggests, it's based in a place, Bartholomew Fair. And so the place is extremely important to the fair. And there are people who inhabit the fair. There's a culture of the fair. There's a language to the fair. There's everything. And then there are visitors who come. So over the years, I've been mulling this back and forth. What's the equivalent? What could I write about this? And I came up with rodeo, because rodeo is a place. It has very definite figures, people involved in the rodeo. And it has a lot of color. It has tremendous contrasts, everything from dirt and to cleanliness to, you know, it's a very daring sport, etc., etc. There are so many things. It has a language of its own as well. So I was fascinated by rodeo, and that's where it all began. I had to then say to myself, as a playwright, you then say to yourself, okay, what intrudes upon the rodeo to create the drama? What characters would come who are non-rodeo types? And I decided, long before Trace Adkins sang the song about women love country boys, long before that, I decided that some New Yorkers were going to come to the rodeo in Wyoming because their daughter had fallen in love with a rodeo cowboy. And so they come attempting to blend into the rodeo, which, as I say, has its own style. It's so much about it, its clothing, etc., etc. And they attempt to blend in, and that became a real comic moment for me, because the very first person they meet there at the rodeo is Jimmy, the clown. And once he finds out that he's got some potential comedy here, he is ready to ride this horse.
Well, now, hasn't somebody, Len, said, rodeo? I thought Aaron Copland already wrote Rodeo.
Rodeo. No, the one on Rodeo. Maybe I'm pronouncing it wrong. I always thought the Rodeo was the one in Hollywood Boulevard somewhere.
Yeah. Rodeo. Yeah. In my mind, that's the distinction, too. Right. The rodeo is where the real cowboys are.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Aaron Copland wrote kind of a cleaned up version.
Yeah. So it was, you know, we have one very close to us, of course. Red Bluff is on the national circuit. So I visited that many times. And as I was thinking about it and thinking about all the various events that go on, I was able to watch them and try to put some music to those events. Marcel can talk more about this, but the music, besides the story of these people coming to the rodeo, I had to use music in two ways. The first was the music that develops the plot, develops the character, you know, such as I just met a girl named Maria. You know, that's not in ours. But anyway,
I hope not.
But that develops the character, develops the plot, et cetera, et cetera. And then there were the events themselves. And I thought, well, what can I do with the events? The bronc riding, the bareback riding, the barrel racing, etc., and of course the bull. What could I do with them? And I thought, why not talk about this whole experience of rodeo, that it is indeed a metaphor for life itself, that we can look at those events and in some way ask ourselves, what does this tell us about life? You know, is everything in life is rodeo? Is it indeed? And that's where I start. Well, that's where I continued my work.
This is retired English professor,
right,
Len Elliott, who has written the book and lyrics for a musical comedy. And at what point did you bring Marcel into this collaboration, Len?
Well, it was actually last September. I remember very well because I'd had a little difficulty with another writer, and
you mean composer or
a composer? Uh-huh. Sorry, and at that time, Jerry and Tamara Allspar, they recommended that I meet with Marcel. Well, by this time, of course, Jerry had said that he would put the play on this coming summer.
Would you remind listeners who Jerry Miller is?
Sorry, Jerry Miller is the director of the show, and he's the director up in Paradise Theater on the Ridge. I might give a kudo to Jerry here and say that, you know, it's wonderful that somebody would take a chance on a brand new play. It's so much easier to stage the chestnuts, the ones we all know. But he was taking a chance. He read the script. He liked it very much. We had a cold reading and loved it. And at that point, he said, well, you need to talk to Marcel. And so I remember it very well. I remember meeting him in Mom's in September. And I remember giving him a long list. It's, what, 15? 15 songs in all, a long
set. That you wanted Tim to compose.
I think I started off subtly and said, well, there's only 12, but slowly it's built up to about 15. And of course, I had to explain to him what it was all about. And then he had, he should probably talk about this distinction between those that are for the character development and those that are for the rodeo itself, for the events themselves.
Okay, before Marcel answers, I want to remind people who Marcel Daguerre is. He started out, this Marcel, it makes me smile that you start out in finance. Yeah. And you decide, well, I'm going to go to philosophy where the money is.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it was actually ended up teaching by accident in the Department of Finance and Marketing. I was talking to my advisor from my master's thesis and complaining about this job that I had that I hated. I'd only been out of school for a year, but it was like a high pressure sales type of, office machine type thing. So I just happened to complain about it, and he says, we need somebody to teach our corporate finance class. Would you be interested? And yeah, I just said yes immediately, and I've been teaching ever since.
Well, I'm sure your students are delighted about that. And then you went from the business field into philosophy.
Yes, that another accident. In my finance class, the daughter of the chair of the philosophy department was in there. She, I think, majored in business. And she told her dad about this guy in finance who's teaching business ethics because I had a background in philosophy. So I did part of the class doing that. And so he calls me and says, hey, we teach a business ethics class, but nobody will take it because it's only for business majors.
But it's offered in the Department of Philosophy.
It's in the philosophy department, and they don't know any of us. Mm-hmm. Would you do it? And so I did, and that's how I ended up in the philosophy department.
So
basically, I'm telling you that I haven't ever planned anything in my entire career.
It's all been serendipity. But now music, I'm sure, was underlying all of this as you sorted out your career. You were a musician from way back.
Yeah, long before I even started my college career. I played in my first band when I was 12 years old. And got paid, which was
now
nice.
That is any time you can get at 12 and as a musician. Yeah. So you probably, did you start as a drummer?
Yeah.
And then you went on to, you play guitar now for, and I wanted to say the name of the band again because people might have thought I was mispronouncing, I was not saying Quasimodo.
No, you were not. We are the Quasimofos. And it's just a bunch of, veteran Chico musicians. We've known, all of us known each other for years and decided, well, let's have a band. And they asked me to play guitar. It was the first time anybody ever asked me to play guitar in a band. And I was stunned, but also liked the challenge. Also was scared to death for the first couple of gigs because, I'd never really done that before.
So at this point, you're still just a musician. You are now a composer/musician.
I spend most of my time actually composing now. The band doesn't play a lot, and I get all kinds of offers, some totally unexpectedly, like Lynn contacting me for this show. I've done incidental music for productions at Chico State, written original music for a production there that Bill Johnson directed. I end up usually doing more of that.
And Jerry Miller was the one who put you together because you worked with Jerry Miller and
right.
Lynn worked with Jerry Miller.
Right.
And so Jerry thought the two of you would make for a good pair to work on this musical.
Right. Yep.
And Lynn has told us about how he got started on the idea. And then he brings you in and what did he say, Marcel?
Well, he said, we need some songs written. We need them relatively quickly because the show's already on the calendar. Would you be...
Now there's an optimist.
Interested.
Exactly.
And so we talked at Mom's and he explained the show to me. And I could tell right away, by the way, he said there's 15 songs. I bet there were more than that when I first read the script. We pared it down, and then he negotiated some back, I think is how that worked.
Okay.
But something like that. And I knew I wasn't going to be able to do all of that in that time frame. So I knew of a couple of writers that whose work I admire, and I ask them.
Composers, since this is a book show, we want to make that distinction.
Okay,
these are composers.
I understand now. Thank you.
Right.
So I asked them, and they said yes. Joshua Hegg and Michael Bone, who people might know from those lovely productions that they do over at Laxon Auditorium, the last one being the Beatles one, right?
Yeah, I worked with Josh in a musical that he was a vocal director. Yeah, I really enjoyed working with
Josh. Yeah, those guys are great, and they did some great work on this show.
My two guests are former academics. Lynn Elliott was in the English department for many years, and he wrote screenplays as well as plays for some time now. And Marcel Daguerre is still an active professor in the philosophy department, and the two of them collaborated on this musical about, of all things, a rodeo.
Exactly.
So, Marcel, now Elliot has, Lynn, Professor Elliott, has described how he researched to get the authenticity of this culture of the rodeo. What did you do?
Well, my first thought was that, well, it's got to be country music, right? But then the more I thought about it, the more I thought, no, there's really a much richer palette of music that you can use, you know, for these events and to describe these characters. You had, you know, like Norteño music, you know, from northern Mexico, Cajun music. There was all kinds of music that would fit the themes. And so then it just was a matter of looking at what Lynn had written and trying to figure out what captures the mood of that particular moment.
That sounds like so much fun. The creativity that is sparked by being given, okay, Marcel, here's the challenge. Here's what I want you to do. And did you write the opening piece? Did you write that first?
You know, to be honest, I don't know which thing I did first. Do you remember what the first thing I sent you was? I just kind of went through it and kind of waited until I had like an idea, you know. And then when I gave the script, or Lynn sent the script to the other composers, they just kind of saw one that they said, hey, I got an idea. And, you know, so that became their song, right? And we just kind of went through that way. If I saw one, I said, okay, I'd just let them know I'm starting to work on something for this song. But the order, they certainly didn't get written in the order that they're in the show.
Well, now, scene one is this, the title of this is Everything in Life is Rodeo. Now, did you write this particular one?
Yes.
Well, we're going to listen to a little bit of this. And this, the title of this is Everything in Life is a Rodeo. And as Lynn mentioned, he's using rodeo as a metaphor for life. You have any other comment, Lynn, before we listen to this piece?
No, this is exactly what I wanted when I wrote it. Was, you know, I like the line, Muslim, Hindu, Christian, or Jew, so much hatred, what do we do? Open the gate, the bulls are coming. Better stop the fighting and start a running. So it's up to you what you want that bull to be, but there seem to be a lot of possibilities.
And so these, I might remind people, these are your words. Lynn
right.
wrote the words to this, and Marcel wrote the music.
Thank you.
So that piece was Everything in Life is Rodeo, and this was the character named Jimmy McGraw and cast singing that piece. Now, scene two, then, we meet some of the characters, and I know Marcel is a musician and composer. He does not claim to be an actor, but I'm going to ask him if he would read a couple of these lines. And Lynn, how's your cowboy accent?
I'll try.
Okay. So Lynn is going to be reading the lines of Reverend Busy. Do you want to make any comments exactly who this Reverend Busy is?
Okay. So I don't need the cowboy accent for Reverend Busy.
Okay.
Reverend Busy has come with, her name is Mrs. Worth Moore. So her name should give it away and tell you it's a comedy. She's a very rich widow. And her daughter is the one who has fallen for this young cowboy. Reverend Busy has come along with her as her quote-unquote protector. He's a braggart. He's a he's the one who's going to defend her in this totally alien environment. But of course, he has interests in this very, very rich widow, as he keeps talking, saying, you know, she's very, very rich. And so he's come along. His nephew is supposed to be the fiancé of the young girl, but Harrison, the nephew, is not that interested, and other things happen to Harrison, as they do to Reverend Busy during this play.
Well, one thing that I thought your career as an English professor came out, Lynn, was the the Reverend's misuse of words. He's close a lot of the times.
Yeah. Malaprops.
And, yes.
Malapropisms, exactly.
Malaprops. they're very famous. And I was thinking, Lynn probably encountered these kinds of things in essays when he was teaching English.
Well, they're all around us, you know, like the word conversating, which I love. You know, I do love language, and I love words like that. And immediately I heard it. It was used by somebody in the gym, actually. He said, hey, have you heard this one, conversating? And so I immediately ran home, and I had to include that one in. That's a great line.
Well, that's why I repeated the name of Marcel's band that he plays in, because it sounds like Quasimodo, right. But it's not quite. And then one I remember of Reverend Busy's, he talks about, he means moniker. But says monocle.
Monocle. Well, actually, monocle is the word. It was used sometimes in cowboy slang, but of course he gets it all mixed up.
Okay, let's.
So who am I?
You said you'd like to read Reverend Busy.
Okay. So do you want me to do Jimmy and Harrison?
And Marcel is going to read Jimmy, and Jimmy actually talks to the audience.
Right.
And did you have any qualms about? I'm sure you didn't. Breaking that third wall and having
none whatsoever. Jimmy talks to the audience, and we have a character who we meet pretty soon called Bullwhip Betty, and she also talks to the audience. And ladies, hang on to your husbands.
Okay, Reverend Busy.
What noise? A barbarous noise. Such music is clashing cymbals to my eardrums. Stay close, Mrs. Worthmore. I have intimate knowledge of these people. That I do. That I truly do.
What have we here?
What have these people done with my daughter, Reverend Busy? What have they done with my princess?
A young cowboy has bewitched her, Mrs. Worthmore. He has seduced her with... Put that cell phone away, nephew. Have you ever seen a cowboy with a cell phone? No. We must make these people cogitate that we're just like them. And stop hobbling. Walk like a cowboy. Like this. Ah! What did I just step in? Tell me it isn't.
I'm afraid it is, Uncle.
A metaphor for this place of noise, ignorance, and filth has deposited itself upon my Tony Lama calfskin boots you so kindly bought me, Mrs. Worthmore. This place is a swamp, a veritable swamp.
From which we must rescue my princess, Reverend.
Verily, I say, verily, my concern is for your safety, Mrs. Worthmore. I would show the same concern for any widow of your considerable wealth. There are financial provocatives abroad in the land, but with Reverend J.J. Busy at the helm of this vessel, we shall rescue your daughter, my nephew's future intended, and sail eastward.
Harper is not my future intended, Uncle.
Not your nephew. One day... Harper will be your wife, and this wealthy widow, this truly wealthy widow, will be your mother-in-law.
But...
Silence! We'll have none of your ifs, ands, and buts.
A pompous preacher man, a wealthy widow, a truly wealthy widow, an unwilling lover, and a runaway daughter. Mix them together, and we got ourselves a play.
Tell us, Mrs. Worthmore, of a mother's sorrow for her wayward daughter.
So this was scene two from Rodeo, the musical, and reading these lines were composer-musician Marcel Daguerre and retired professor Lynn Elliott, who wrote the words and the lyrics. So the next, then, Mrs. Worthmore gets to sing, and then there's a chorus that comes in. Anything you want to remind listeners about this distraught mother of a wayward child?
Well, it does pick up the whole theme of, you know, the life that Harper is the daughter, and the life that Harper has given up. And so it was nice to be able to contrast the two lives, that here's Harper, who had the possibility of chauffeured drives down Fifth Avenue, versus the life that Cody, the boy that she's fallen for, the life that he leads, in which there's, what, for example... there's a line in which Mrs. W. talks about Harper's life. Designer clothing and couturered gowns, high fashion runs in her blood. And Busy, of course, jumps in immediately and says, here's there's nothing but plaid shirts and jeans. And Mrs. Worthmore, my Jimmy Choo shoes are covered in mud.
Professor Elliott has just been describing the song of one of the characters. You call her Mrs. W. because in the script you might refer to it, but I think it's fun to use her name that you gave her, Mrs. Worthmore, because some of the characters are quite impressed that she is worth so much. Well, you mentioned a character, Bullwhip Betty, and why I just thought that would be so much fun to read her lines. So,
one of the fascinations I had in I stayed in Texas for a short while. My wife and I were there for 18 months, and I noticed that beside the fact that they could not understand me whatsoever, they don't say I, they say ah.
Well,
so they
sure,
say wah. So what's the tam?
And so what's the tam? And I like pie and nice white rice. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So all y'all.
Oh yeah, it is like handy to have a plural.
Yeah.
In New York, it might be use guys, but in Texas, it would be y'all.
Y'all. Well, then they say all y'all, which means everybody.
Yes.
Anyway. Bullwhip Betty came to me at 2 o'clock in the morning, bless her. they frequently do things like
that. That seems appropriate somehow.
Exactly. And she demanded that I put her in the play. So I had to get out of bed and crawl over to my computer and write some notes to myself. She's there. I had another person in mind at the time, but she didn't have the energy.
Another character.
I wanted something, because if you do go to the rodeo, there are many booths that are set up. And there's one in particular I'm thinking of, which I prefer not to mention, actually. In came Bullwhip Betty, who will... she's famous for her talents with the bullwhip, of course, and she claims that she can take a $20 bill out of your pocket or a cell phone from your hands with a bullwhip, and I believe her.
Yeah. So there you are asleep, and Bullwhip Betty comes, taps you on the shoulder.
Frequently happens, yeah. Characters do things like that.
Well, I sometimes refer to that as a download of information, mm-hmm. and if you're lying there in bed, you got to accept that download, so you get out of bed and write it down or whatever this information is that is a download. So when I'm not sleeping, I think, well, I'll just make productive use of this time. And
I went to the audition, original one, and the young girl, young lady, Karen Fox, she was asking me about the play, and once I mentioned Bullwhip Betty, her eyes lit up, and she said, I want that role. And indeed, when she sang for us, I said, yes, she is Bullwhip Betty, and so she is playing Bullwhip Betty.
So Karen Fox is a local singer.
Yeah, I think she lives in Magalia. Yeah. They're all local, yeah.
Well, there's this delightful scene in your musical that involves Reverend Busy, and Lynn, since you were such an excellent Reverend Busy in that last scene, I'm going to ask you if you will read Reverend Busy again. And, of course, I want to read the lines of Bullwhip Betty, if you don't mind.
No problem.
And I might add that I didn't pick out the scene you did, but I jumped on board when you suggested I read her lines.
This is a little difficult to set up because Reverend Busy has got himself, as I said, he's a braggart, and he's got himself into a battle already with Charlene, who is, while the rodeo is in town, she dresses as a male. Because she doesn't like those knuckle-dragging, I forgot, macho men. She says that she'll dress like a male. So it's not that difficult, of course, just for a woman in a rodeo.
Pin up her anyway, hair under a hat.
Exactly. So anyway, she and the Reverend get into a battle almost immediately in a wonderful song they had, Check It Out, where they're claiming that they were involved in the gunfight at the OK Corral and the Dalton Boynes and Billy the Kid and all this. But anyway, they're really it's a moment in the play when there's going to be a duel as such. But Charlie, the same person, has left, and Reverend Busy went chasing after her. And anyway, he's come back and he's found out that Mrs. W has somehow disappeared, as has Harrison. And so he comes in and he's alone, and who should be there waiting for him but Bullwhip Betty.
Well, I want to tell you, Lynn, this morning I mentioned that I was interviewing somebody who'd written a musical about cowboys, and his eyes lit up. He said, I grew up in Kansas City. Huh? He said, that's really cowboy country. So yeah. That's authentic. And you might remind people again that you chose as your setting not Kansas or Texas, but Wyoming.
Right. And there is a rodeo school in the University of Wyoming, and there's one line in which he says, the Reverend Busy says, Wyoming. Where the hell is Wyoming? Oh, she was given a choice of Harvard, Yale, Columbia, or Brown. Where the hell is Wyoming? You know, so I could only just change that and change it to Kansas State or something, but Wyoming fitted in with the rhyme. Well, so anyway, this is Reverend Busy. He's going to meet Bullwhip Betty. Sorry.
And now that we've told people we're going to do this, but we are coming up on a break, Lynn. So if you don't mind, let's go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, we're going to hear the conversation between Reverend Busy and Bullwhip Betty. My guests are two former academics who have collaborated on a musical comedy. Marcel Daguerre wrote the music, one of the composers of the music, and retired professor of English, Lynn Elliott, wrote the book and lyrics. You're listening to Nancy's Bookshelf on North State Public Radio. I'm Nancy Wigman. I'm Nancy Wigman, and you're listening to Nancy's Bookshelf on North State Public Radio. My guests today have collaborated on a musical comedy, and before the break, we were setting up a scene where we meet Bullwhip Betty, one of the characters in this musical. And you mentioned that Jimmy sometimes talks to the audience, one of your characters, and that Bullwhip Betty sometimes also talks to the audience, and she does, in fact, in this scene. So... retired professor Lynn Elliott is going to be reading the lines of Reverend Busy, and I'm going to see what I can do with Bullwhip Betty.
Mrs. W. Harrison, woe is me. I wander alone and deflowered in this unclean place.
Ain't the kind of language normally heard around here. I figure me a preacher man. I found me a preacher man. Still, like they say, beggars can't be choosers. At my age, decent men are hard to find. Let's be honest, ladies. At any age, decent men are hard to find.
To whom am I speaking?
Folks around here call me Bullwhip Betty. Catch my act. Flick a cigarette out of a man's mouth at 10 paces and a cell phone from his pocket at 20. Don't let my way of speaking trouble you, sir. Underneath, you'll find it. An ace-high lady, a soft, loving woman, very soft, loving woman, if you catch my drift.
People around here are filled with iniquity.
Figure what you're saying is all down but nine, preacher man. Means I don't understand you exactly, but I ain't one to be assuming or attitudinizing.
I am lost, forsaken in this swamp of immorality.
Not like them words going to be touching this woman's heart, but don't you be worrying. With Bullwhip Betty by your side, ain't no one dare touch a hair on that head of yours. Do you mind me asking what your sign is, kind sir?
Mine? Aries. Why?
I knew it!
I'm looking for a woman, madam.
And I'm looking for a man. Nice, kind, loving man. One who'll treat Betty right as the years drift by. Figure you and me should look together. And then I grab your arm, right. Reverend, and I lead you off stage.
I should mention quickly that when Bullwhip Betty entered, she was chasing Jimmy. And she said to him that the stars were going to, she'd read the stars that morning, and they said that she was going to fall for an Aries man. And of course, Jimmy said, I'm Libra, I'm Aquarius, he was running for his life. And then he asked all the men in the audience who are Aries men to stand up. So that's where that reference came from.
So then this follows the next scene. Is a song called This Way, That Way with the singer and the cast. And there are some lyrics by?
Me.
you wrote the lyrics, but
oh, right.
This says that there are some additional lyrics by somebody else whose last name is Elliott.
Yes.
Don't you want to give a little credit?
Exactly, yes. My wife, Danny, was the one. She has been my sort of fallback for all things rodeo since she knew a little bit more about it, a lot more than I did about it. And she just started to write this one day and then said, because I said, I'm trying to think of something with a bronc. And she just gave me this poem, and I took that poem and I blended it into the This Way, That Way, the first part of it, that's hers. And then I said, hey, life, what you got for me today? That's when I jump in, but then back to the chorus, which is hers. Yeah. She was very important, you know, holding me together throughout this.
Well, I might remind people if they tuned in after I introduced the two of you that Lynn Elliott is an award-winning playwright and author. who was born in Cardiff, Wales. Right. I'm sure if they missed that, they did notice your accent, Lynn. And he was chairman of the English department for 6 years at Chico State, and he's written a lot of plays. He's written 10, four of them, the 10 plays he's written, won national playwriting contests. He's written 3 screenplays and published 2 works of fiction. Now, I did want to ask you about those screenplays, because that's tough now to get a screenplay produced.
It is. It is. And I enter them in competitions. I'm actually a finalist with 2 of them in 2 different ones. And they're very different from this. One of them is on, it's called Borderline Justice, and it's actually on the drug trade between Mexico and the United States, so a long way from the rodeo here. And the other one is a fascination for me was to name some California Indians. And when I couldn't, I checked and went back in history until I came to the missions. And so it's called Alta California, and it's about the struggle between Father Serra and a man who's not so well known, Captain Philip de Neve. They had a very different decision on what should happen to the Indians as the Anglos kept coming more and more from the east across to the west.
Will this be for TV or a theatrical release? Do you know?
Oh, they're both for television, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because nowadays, more and more movies are being made specifically, like Netflix is getting into the game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So more opportunities for screenwriters like yourself.
Yeah.
Also want to remind listeners that my other guest is Marcel Daguerre, and he began his teaching career in the Department of Finance and Marketing at Chico State, but for the last 25 years, he's been a lecturer in the Philosophy Department. He's been playing music here in Chico since 1979. He was a drummer and is currently a guitarist, and he composed musicals himself. He composed 4 original musicals, and with we mentioned Jerry Miller. And you've worked with Jerry Miller, mm-hmm. who's a local theater legend himself. Mm-hmm. And in 2007, you won an Annie for one of your theater productions. And he composed the music along with a couple of other musicians. You said that also you collaborated with them to write the music, to compose the music for Lynn Elliott's production. And then you, Marcel, you wrote some music in for a Spanish song?
Yeah, we had... This is an event song. It's a song that happens while the rodeo event is happening, and the event is called Cowboy Poker. But it doesn't really have very much to do with poker at all, I found out. Lynn actually sent me a video of what cowboy poker is, and it's gambling, all right.
Yeah.
But basically, they just set like a poker table, some kind of table in the middle of the arena. The cowboys sit at the table as if they're playing cards, and then they just let a bull loose, and the last one to remain in their chair is the winner. So you can do like probably I would do and just see the bull and run. But apparently they'll stick it out, and no pun intended, and see who can stay there the longest. And so
it was either the bravest or the craziest.
Yeah.
What's interesting was when I was in Red Bluff, when they announced this, all these young boys came running down from the stands, and they desperate to be chosen, you know, and they were so excited, and I was cowering, of course, away from it. But I
so
should
you
say,
did not, you did
no,
not.
No, not at all.
You were cowering
but,
for them.
One of the things that happens is the reverend gets challenged to a game of poker,
but he thinks
it's poker. And, you know, that's one of the things I was talking about. The language is different. So when you say poker, we're not talking about Texas Hold'em or anything like that. And he thinks it's poker. And too late, he finds out that it's not.
Right.
Not that poker.
Well, Lynn had written this, and it was in Spanish when he gave it to me. And I'm watching this video that he sent me, and I'm thinking, what kind of music is going to go to this, right? And my first thought was, okay, you're going to have to make it like, you know, danger ridden or something. But then it occurred to me that it would be quite a nice contrast, especially if they could show the video of what this event really is, to have this kind of romantic, soft ballad, this Norteño ballad, plane underneath it, right? And so that's the direction we went. We'll find out if it works with the audience or not.
Yeah, because I might remind listeners that you are opening next Thursday, July 27th is opening night.
Right.
And so you'll get to see whether an audience goes for this that you've dreamed of.
Yeah, you never know about that. You never know. You never know where the laughs are going to be, and you certainly don't know how they're going to react to the music.
So you've got this a song that goes along with Cowboy Poker.
Right.
And you know, Lynn, as you were describing this, how the young men go running out there to participate in this, reminds me of the running of the bulls in Pamplona.
Exactly.
The way the young guys want to run ahead of the bulls. Of course, it all happens in a split second. And I'm guessing that this cowboy poker doesn't take too long either.
No, you do get a flak jacket. I should mention that. You do get a flak jacket. And also, it's not the 2,000-pound bull with the bull rider.
Yeah.
They're younger bulls and they're smaller bulls, but they're faster. And they're determined to, you know, end this game very quickly.
Well, in fact, I was in Pamplona for the Fiesta de San Fermín, and they do this at the arena. The bulls are on their way, so some men get in front of the bulls. But then at the arena, they have this younger, smaller version that the young boys go out and they can take rolled up newspapers in. So it's a milder form, but it's still pretty scary. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wouldn't want to be out there in the ring with even a young bull.
Well, Mrs. W ends up in the ring with the bull. At the end, Act One ends with the bullfighting. And Mrs. W, of course, is dressed as a rodeo clown. And she's told by Jimmy that, you know, here's the trick. It's no good running straight because the bull can run faster. You have to dodge to the side. And that's the only training she gets.
Right. My listeners, that my guests are former, still academics, but to have collaborated on a musical called Rodeo. And Lynn has been describing the research he did, or he got the idea for Cowboy Poker. And he watched, you saw this happening. You know, watch these young men go sit at a table like they're going to play poker. And here comes this bull charging in.
Right.
Now, you mentioned that Mrs. Worthmore actually gets in the ring herself. But the characters in this drama contain, one of the characters is an actual clown. This is his job.
Right.
And she just happens to be dressed like that. But he is the one who is actually in the role of clown. So tell us again who this character is.
Jimmy McGraw is a rodeo clown. They're actually called bullfighters. That's their correct title. And of course, they have the extremely dangerous job of helping the bull rider once his 8 seconds are up. And they're the ones who have to release him from the bull and somehow distract the bull to get it away from the bull rider. And what has happened is that Jimmy McGraw has convinced Mrs. Worthmore, he's convinced her that the clothes that she's wearing give her away, you know, that she doesn't look like a rodeo type. And so he says, come to come to my trailer and I'll get you some clothing. And as he leaves, he looks at the audience and says, you know I will. And and so he does. And when she comes back, of course, she's dressed as a rodeo clown. So now I'm playing again with the idea of she is now a he. So he's a she and she's a he, which is the opening of Act Two.
We're talking about Rodeo, the musical comedy that is put together by collaborators Marcel Daguerre, who is the composer of the music, and Lynn Elliott, who wrote the book and lyrics for this. So we have this woman dressed as a rodeo clown who is in no way fits into this culture.
Right.
And what else did you learn when you watched Real Rodeos in Red Bluff?
Extremely dangerous. It is, man versus the beast. And of course, as they always say, when the referee blows the whistle, one of the animals does not stop, you know, doesn't hear the whistle. The bull, they're ferocious animals, of course. So I was watching those at all times. As for Mrs. W, just to add to her, Mrs. Worthmore, she has seen a very handsome older cowboy who happens to be the father of Cody. That's the young boy. And she's seen him and is very, very attracted to him, and finds out he's a widower as well. And but unfortunately, she's dressed like a rodeo clown when she sees him. So all these things happening. Yeah.
Now, you mentioned these rodeo events,
right.
And sometimes you present the challenge to Marcel. Okay, Marcel, come up with some music to go along with this event. So what categories of music, then, did you have to come up with, Marcel?
Well, it had to be kind of open to anything that would fit the mood, right? We didn't want musical theater-sounding songs because this is rodeo, and it's got to have the excitement of a rodeo. So that's kind of in the background of your thought, right, is how can I make this as exciting as, you know, a bronc riding would actually be, at least for the songs that are for the events. So then it's just this sounds like it could be a Cajun type of rhythm that would work with this, right? And you can build excitement through the rhythm. Sometimes you want a catchy melody. So like in the opener, right, you want that message that, you know, everything in life is rodeo. You want that to be catchy. It's the kind of song where, for me, I'm thinking,
you want to walk out of the theater with people humming that tune.
Exactly. They got that stuck in their head. You're welcome. And that's, you know, so it just depends. It depends upon the moment, right? The one that closes, is it the Toro, the one that closes the first act?
Yeah.
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 And
bull riding.
That one, the one that Joshua Hegg wrote, and he captures a real nice contrast the way he does things rhythmically with that song, right? And the song itself kind of leaves you sort of ready for the second act, right? You want to leave them wanting more at the end, mm-hmm, of the first act. And he's written a really clever song for that. So, you know, and Michael Bone wrote a couple of songs for this too. And I'm assuming their process was very much the same. You know, where is this song in the story and what do we need it to communicate? And then, you know, you're not going to write a heavy metal song and you're not going to write a musical theater type number, right? But you just want to find something that sounds like you could hear it at a rodeo.
Well, I've had the experience, and you probably have too, of watching a video twice. First with maybe serious, scary music. So, oh my gosh, look at this video. And then you see the same scene with little bouncy, funny music. And it's such a mood. It influences the mood and how you view that video. And so you can, if I want to use the word manipulate, your audience with the kind of music you put there.
Oh, yeah.
Let them know, hey, guys, this is for fun. So just relax. It's not serious. Or whatever you want to create. And then you have the challenge, too, of wanting to carry out Lynn's vision of the words that he wrote. So you say sometimes you reject some ideas and you finally land on
lots of them, as it turns out.
Are you saying it's like an iceberg?
It's
where all the work is below your view and you have just that little bit that you keep?
Yeah, the stuff that you usually, for me, some people are, somebody like Paul McCartney comes up with Yesterday in his sleep, thank you. But not me. I have to have, it seems like, a bunch of really bad ideas before I finally go, oh, okay, this sounds like it might be listenable, you know? So that's what it is. But a lot of the stuff that I don't use, it doesn't sound anything like the finished product.
Well, it's been such a pleasure talking to you two about this project that you've put together. And I'm sure theatergoers are very eager to see it. I'll remind people that opening night is next Thursday, July 27th. At Theater on the Ridge,
right,
up in Paradise. So make that trip if you live in Chico or in the outlying area and go to see Rodeo, the musical comedy. Remind listeners, my guests have been Lynn Elliott, who wrote the book and lyrics, and Marcel Daguerre, who composed music for this production. And we'll give Jerry Miller, too, a shout-out for his role in this also. And thank you, gentlemen, for joining me today.
Thank you, Nancy.
So much.
To conclude today's show, rodeo clown, bullfighter, and prankster Jimmy McGraw is going to bring us on home. You can find this and other episodes of Nancy's Bookshelf on our website, mynspr.org. I'm Nancy Wigman.
You've been listening to Nancy's Bookshelf. Our theme music is The Mysterious Barricades by Francois Couperin, performed by Warren Haskell. Nancy's Bookshelf is a production of North State Public Radio.